Young people, probably 18 and younger.
Thanks, Marlena.
Although some of us at heart maybe consider ourselves young. Matthew, did you want to join them this morning?
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe I'll sit here with that.
Yeah. Do you want to sit? Pop off? That's cool. Okay. Well, here we go. We'll start. So let's talk about last week, right? I'm sure you read it. Hopefully you read it. So what, if Nick, could you put that picture up for me when you get a chance? So I got two things for this. I got a laser pointer to aim at the TV. It sure reflects, so I can point it out to show you. I'm pretty proud of that. And then I have a picture of the tabernacle. I just went over this with my son, so I'm a little excited. We just about it. Maddie, are you aware of all this? All right, he knows it. So today, let's talk about last week. While you're looking at that. So what were the two rooms? Well, there's your answer. What were the two rooms in the tabernacle called?
The holy place and the most holy place.
Yes. Yes, and also the most holy place as well. Thank you. What pieces of furniture have we looked at in these rooms so far? So luckily, got a little cheat there. But what are the pieces of furniture? That is still word for word. She is getting taught so well at that. Wonderful. Okay. So like I said, I'm going to go on this. And today we're going to talk about the lampstand, God's lamp within this piece. So we're going to talk about this today. And we talked about this being the court of the tabernacle. You see the altar of burnt offerings where the priest of Levi would sacrifice one lamb in the morning and night and do their sacrifices. And then the bowl for cleansing. We have the table of showbread where it represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And today, we'll talk about the lampstand. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Exodus 25, and we're going to look at verses 31 through 40. Maddie, you have your Bible? Okay. Okay. Thank you. So serious. Oh, yeah, so Exodus 25, thank you, son. 31 through 40, and I'll go ahead and read it to you. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. And what's unique about when we read this, we see how intricate God has. He's very orderly. He has instructions of how we build each thing. It's not just of chaos and thrown together. He specifically has instructions of how to build it. So he says, then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand, its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of the same piece. Six branches, which as you see right there, you can't really see it too well, but the six branches shall go out from its sides, and three of them on the lampstand from its one side, and three on the other. Okay. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms on one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms on the other branch, a bulb and flower. So you see them symmetrical. So for the six branches going out from the lampstand, and in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, bulb and flowers, and a bulb should be under the first pair of branches coming out. And a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair. A lot of instruction, okay? So bear with me. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of the same piece. And all of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps seven in number. And they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Make note of that. To shed light in the space in front of it. Remember that. As its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold, it shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. So a lot of how God asks of us and how we should build this lampstand. So, quick couple questions. What was the lampstand made of? Yes, it was hammered out, one solid piece of gold. Trying to get gold back then was probably pretty interesting too. Now, how many lamps were on the lampstand?
Seven.
Yes, one of each of the six branches and the one in the middle. Very good. Okay, what was the purpose of the lampstand?
To give light.
It's not exact word for word. You're right. No, you're right. Yeah, provided light in the holy place. The priests were to keep the lamps burning continually before God. So the main point of this whole study today is that God is the life-giving light of his people, right? We represent that this gives us a symbol in the sense that God's light is always shining continually, and so that's what they do there. So we know that the tabernacle was a tent made of several layers of thick cloth and animal skins, right? You can see out there, that's where the core of the tabernacle and the cloth there, and even right there inside it. It had no windows, no LED bulbs. Even on a clear summer day, the tabernacle would have been a pitch black inside, so it was pretty dark. That is, if God had not provided light, which was this lampstand. And across from the golden table in the holy place was a beautiful lampstand. It was made of solid piece of gold that was about 75 pounds. It's pretty heavy, right? So God had designed this lampstand to look like an almond tree at each stage of its life. And it's beautiful, with fruit budding and blossoming and ripening. And on the end of its branches were some cups of oil with burning wicks. So that's where you get the candles to burn the fire. There were seven bright lamps on the singular tree-shaped lampstand, and then the priests were required to attend these lamps many times a day, continue throughout the day, trimming the wicks and refilling the oil. And it also goes in the same pattern as the incense, too, right? That kind of represents the communion we have with God. They have to continually keep that lit. So the light has to be continually lit for the lampstand as well. The light of God's lampstand was to never go out as long as the tabernacle was set up. So we pattern after a tree full of life. The lampstand would have reminded Israel of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And God is the great giver of life. Amen. We know that in Scripture. And a person cannot come to his gracious presence without the experiencing that life. For true life is found in the light of God's face. The lampstand was a sign to Israel that God himself was their life-giving light, as the light shone on the 12 loaves of the bread, which did symbolize of the 12 tribes of Israel, God was committing to graciously shine the light in his face on his people. Right? He's the one that shines it. We read that in Numbers. The tabernacle was a copy of God's heavenly house, which also looked very similar to Eden. And there we see the tree life, abundant with fruit, and we see a lamp through which the life-giving light of God's glory shines. It's the light in the dark place. So that lamp, of course, we see it to be as Jesus Christ. And he is the true life and the true light. Amen. He is the one who delivers sinners from darkness that they can live in the light of God's beautiful face forever. Take joy in that. So with that said, let's go into our last bit of questions and we'll get started with worship. What was the lampstand designed to look like?
An almond tree.
Yes. An almond tree at every stage of its life, from the bud to the blossom of its fruit, which this lamp was shown with light, was a symbol of life. Good. How about what does the lampstand teach us about God? That was exactly good. Yes, the lampstand teaches us that God is our life and our light. Okay, so through his gracious covenant, God is committed to shine the light of his face on his people, giving them life. He's the life giver. And so one verse I want to point out is in Revelation 21:23. And it says, "And the city has no need of the sun," right? This is talking about the New Jerusalem, "or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb," right? Christ is that light that we go when we are in heaven and we are in the Jerusalem. He is the light source. No LED bulbs, no candles, no none of that. We don't need that. We have him. He is all sufficient in that. So who is the lamp of God's heavenly tabernacle? Yes, the Lamb of God who was crucified for sinners like us. So Jesus is the Lamb of heaven through whom the life-giving light of God shines on his people forever. And even now through the preaching of the gospel, he shines his light on us to give us light, right? And then we learn about that as common grace too, that gospels extend to all men universally. We pray that when the gospels proclaim that those accepted and repent of their sins and turn to Christ. We pray for that. So hopefully this comes up again, but I just thought it was really neat because I was just going through this with Maddie. So me and Maddie just finished the Ark of the Covenant, his atoning work on the cross through that. So it's just a beautiful thing I want to throw up there with you guys. But good job today. Let's go ahead and we'll call in prayer and then we'll get started with music. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for all the young disciples and all who are learning in the Word today, God. We take joy in the fundamentals of the Word. We take joy in your knowledge of how intricate that you ask for everything to be done, because you are not a God of chaos, but a God of order and structure. We worship you in spirit, and we worship you in truth and purity of doctrine, Lord. It's that sound doctrine that helps us know who you are and what you've done. May we never forget that, and we strive to study you and desire you more. And it's in your name we pray, amen.